How do you prepare for a podcast episode? When is the right time to start a podcast? And how does a podcast work in fundraising? These are questions we ask ourselves before we hit record every single time. And these questions will be answered on today's episode and more. I will say, though, the intro is the hardest thing that I had to ever do, and probably my guests today will agree with me. Welcome to episode 9 of Nova Scotia's SPCA's podcast. My name is Paula, and I will be your host for this episode. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're very happy that you're here, and we're hoping that you're staying. And you're one of our loyal listeners, welcome back. If you pause for a second, though, and you were, wait a second, this isn't a familiar voice. You are right. We are changing things a little bit for this episode, and we are putting a regular host on the hot seat. But before we get into today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, give us 5 stars, and share. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio Podcast, and pretty much everywhere that has the word podcast in it. Now that shameless plug is out of the way, I'm happy to introduce today's guest. You heard it right, guest with an S, Sarah Lyon and Taylor Hustis. Sarah, Taylor, welcome. How are you today?
That was so good.
No, Oh my gosh. Make us look bad, Paula.
Like, which one of us has to follow in episode 10? Because that was so good, Paula.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, I'm doing an episode. I'll do well, and that is it. And then you never hear from me again. We'll see that. Yeah. How are you feeling to be on the other side of the microphone? Because I'm excited for this.
This is weird. Absolutely weird. I definitely prefer being the prepared person where I come with my set of questions. I know what I'm going to be talking about. So I feel like a fish out of water right now.
I feel comfortable.
Sarah's like, bring it on.
You know, there, in my previous role, somebody said there's never a stage or a mic that Sarah turns away from. So I think that'll probably lead into more questions about why we started this podcast. But No, I'm excited. And just for listeners, you're not listening at 1.5 speed. Paula is talking very quickly because she's having so much fun already.
I am. I'm also a fast talker, but we're trying to get so much stuff into this episode, especially with two guests because, you know, it just happens. But let's get started today. And as I was getting ready for this episode, I felt like I should have known this because I'm in the seat every single episode and I listen to this. But then I had to go back and realize, how do you introduce yourselves usually? And I think the only time you've ever said why you do at Nova Scotia SPCA is in the promo, is in our trailer. So for our listeners, new and old listeners, let's find out who Sarah and Taylor are. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at Nova Scotia SPCA, how you got here. So who are Sarah and Taylor?
Okay, so my name was first, even alphabetically. So I'm Sarah Lyon. I'm the Director of External Relations here at the Nova Scotia SPCA, and I have been here for just over 2 years. And my role is to support the team that does annual giving, monthly giving, volunteer engagement, marketing, and communications.
I mean, Sarah's so good at that. I find it always so difficult to say exactly what my role here is at the SPCA, but I feel like everyone who works at nonprofit might experience the same thing because you wear a number of different hats. But I work with donor relations and marketing here at the SPCA. Joined the team close to 7 years ago, which is wild to think of. But mainly I work kind of alongside of Sarah here. So we do a lot of annual giving, direct mail, newsletter, and we work to promote the thrift stores, hospitals, and the college.
That is fantastic. I am all for our listeners out there. We are a tiny team here, the three of us, plus Catherine, who, by the way, we did an episode with her on volunteers, so go check it out after this episode. But I am the newest one in this team, and it has been wild to learn from two different people, both in like experience. Well, we'll be very honest, very two different people. Like you, if you listen to episodes, you will know. You will also know. But it has been fantastic because you both have very different experiences, which gets me to my next question. How did you end up working in fundraising? And honestly, what's making you stay?
Oh, that's a great question.
Do you want me to go?
You start.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll start. Mine is kind of a little unconventional. So Gosh, it would have been around 10 years ago. I actually did door-to-door. So I represented a number of different charities, like World Vision and the Canadian Red Cross. And I would literally go door-to-door, knock, and say, hey, please become a monthly donor. Because of that, I really got comfortable talking to people, which was really wonderful, getting comfortable with a no, and getting really, really excited and seeing what inspires people to give. So I kind of caught the bug then. What about you, Sarah?
A little. In my bio, I always talk about the fact that my first foray into fundraising was selling Girl Guide cookies door to door. So learning about, you can say the product, but really learning how to inspire people at the door to give, because you aren't buying a box of cookies. You are empowering girls and women when you buy Girl Guide cookies. And that started so many decades ago, I won't say. And then I did an advanced diploma at NSCC in public relations, and my went to work for a charity, and it was Dalhousie University. And I don't think people realize that, you know, your universities, your churches, your hospital foundations, those are all charities. And so very different from going in an institution to a charity. But I interviewed for an events job, which is normal way back pre-pandemic. We did a lot of events in this industry, interviewed for an events position, got that position, and then it just grew and grew and grew as the organization grew. And what keeps me in fundraising really is the fact that we as the team get to be the vehicles for donors getting to do good, right? Like, we get to hear what they want to support. We get to hear why they support, and we get to work with them to make good things happen. And we are experiencing in the world a time when the gap in between public and private sector is so, so big, and it's left up to the social impact sector to fill, that there are days that it's really, really hard and you're struggling. And there are days when, you know, you get to help that donor achieve their vision for what they would like to do. That does make it rewarding, because the impact they're having, you know, here on the lives of last year, over 16,000 animals, it's amazing when you actually sit down and get to do that number. So that's what keeps me.
No, I feel like that's so beautifully put. And I mean, especially being here at the SPCA, being able to be right next door to the shelter and go smush your face into some kitties and puppies, that's never a bad thing.
It's
either.
Not, no. It's a perk.
Yeah. It was definitely very interesting for me, actually, just yesterday, though, I had a full circle moment where we both kind of have done the whole door-to-door, is that someone actually knocked on my door. And what do you know? I'm a new monthly donor for another charity now. So what comes around goes around, I guess, right?
You know what? I think that's the thing too. Like, if you come to our doors, like, I'm the same way. If you come, like, I'm going to offer you a drink.
Yep.
I'm going to be like, what can I get you? Go for your pitch again, you know? So I think we're definitely the friendlier doors to go on, for sure. Cause we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, fair enough. I've never done door to door. And so but I can see both of you doing that. Not gonna lie, and I could see Sarah inviting you in and helping you become better at your job, but not going to lie, just being, here's what you can, let's do this again, and how about we go together to the next house?
Yes.
She would do so great at, like, giving pointers for a pitch, wouldn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's make this a teachable moment.
No, definitely. We're going back a little bit to what Taylor said. She has been here for 7 years. That is a long, long time. You have seen a lot of changes over the years. I mean, look where we are today. In front of a microphone, talked about this. And think a little bit about Taylor from, like, that's like 7 years ago. A little bit, you know, when you first started this job, you mainly worked in third-party fundraising. And looking now, again, where we are today, what do you think that Taylor would say? Do you think she would have imagined that this is what we'd be doing today?
Oh, gosh.
That's such a good question.
No idea. But I think I'd probably tell her, prepare to grow. because not only did we grow as an organization, but I feel like I grew as a person as well. So as an organization back 7 years ago, we didn't have our college yet. We didn't have our hospitals. We had a select handful of thrift stores, but it wasn't nearly as big as it is now today. We didn't have all the programs that we offer as well. So I'm really proud of that we have now our Pause and Support program and our pet pantry to be able to help people that are going through difficult times. So that's really nice to see, but also prepare to grow personally. I've learned so many different skills in this role. So I didn't know anything about like web development or web design before, and now here we can whip up a little web page like whenever we need it, which is very cool. But yeah, so I've learned a lot, and I guess growing as well, we have more pets in our home as well, and that comes with working at the SPCA. We have another dog and another cat, so now we have a zoo at our home.
I just want to say, though, it's not that you've been here a long, long time, so that you should think about, like, oh, I've been there too long. You've been here just a normal time. So Paula needs to take back some of those long, long months.
Okay. Okay. Fine, I'll take back a couple of those long longs. You've been here a long time. Let's just do that. Well, Sarah, you've been here not so long, not such a long time.
No.
But you've also seen a lot of growth in the organization, and you've helped move, especially in our fundraising, development, marketing team, do that. Well, I'm trying to get on your side, on your good side, you know, as well. What would you say so far have been one of those moments where you thought, I'm so glad that I'm in this shop, that I get to do this right now?
Ooh.
It's a biggie.
That is a biggie. So I think the thing is that when I was hired, talking to the CEO and to other directors here, learned just that we are more than shelters. And I think that was huge, a huge learning. Oh my goodness. So I was very fortunate to come in on the tail end of some hard work where we did the ground digging in a new shelter. So a very new shelter for the SPCA. The modern SPCA hasn't built a new shelter in 40, there's been no new shelters. So to see that within my first couple of months and to understand the impact that's going to have in Northern Nova Scotia has been amazing. I remember getting teary-eyed during the first graduation class from veterinary assistants from the College of Animal Welfare, just to know the impact that is having. It's not only, when we graduate somebody from the college, it's an impact on the graduate's life. It's an impact on their family because of career opportunities. It's an impact for veterinary medicine. And then it's an impact on the fur families and the animals. Like, five different groups are impacted by that one graduation. And I think to be part of that is amazing. I think that what has shaped me in my 2 years has been our emergency responses. So in under 2 years, we have responded during hurricanes, winter storms, flooding, and obviously wildfires. And I spent a lot of time on the ground during those, literally on the ground. And that has been so impactful and emotional.
For our listeners out there, when Sarah says emotional, she quite means it. Because I don't think there has been a time when we've talked about that Sarah has not cried. And it is... I started this job right after the wildfires. So I've heard the stories and I've read the annual reports so I can see the emotions and I can hear the emotions in everybody's voices when they talk about this, and it is so rewarding to know that when I started this job, I entered a team that is so empathetic, but also who puts everything to do this job. And it is something to see.
It's interesting because it's all hands on deck as much as possible. So, going and loading up animals to evacuate buildings. I've done that a couple of times. being in the wildfires behind the lines with the other first responders. And every time we talk about the wildfires, I got to say, I remember that there's a picture and there's a woman hugging her cat. And it was the first reunion that we had where we had rescued the cat from the wildfires. And I remember my line was like, on social media, it was like, this is why. This is what we wanted. Like, this is the outcome we wanted. And I know that there's a lot of people who didn't get that outcome. And we think about that too. And, you know, I think now our work really continue in the emergency preparedness, but to get others to be prepared too. So a little plug in for that, because we heard from families that couldn't get their animal out or didn't know how to get an animal out, right? So just be prepared and we will always be here.
Well, thank you for sharing that. It's always fantastic to hear that. And I think our listeners always love, and our supporters always love to know that. Now let's break this emotional moment a little bit now, because I feel like we started high and we're going higher. Well, we're going into our usual segment, which is a game of fetch. If you are new here, this is our lightning round of questions where we get to ask our guest more questions to get to know them a little bit better, but they're like very fast ones. So, ooh, that was loud. I feel like there should be a warning there. So, game of fetch. Who was your first pet?
Who are you going to?
Oh gosh, please don't throw it.
I'm not throwing it. We just got new equipment. We're not doing this.
We're going to lose our teeth here.
I'm not a good thrower. I definitely know that. Sarah.
My first pet was a dog named Jacques.
Oh, fancy name.
Yeah, very fancy hybrid retriever shepherd rescue that my parents had before I was born and who I was fortunate enough to have for 10 years.
Oh, that's beautiful. And my first pet was a cat named Boots. He was all black, and then he had four little white paws. Was absolutely obsessed with him. Again, he was, I guess, my parents' cat before they had me. And I used to just follow Boots around constantly. Can you believe that?
Okay, next one. If animals could talk, who would be the nicest? Taylor.
Ooh, nicest? That's easy. Dolphins. 1,000%. They are just playful, kind, gentle. I just love them.
Sarah?
Okay, so I'm going to give you my answer, and then I'm going to go into what I know the next question is, because I've asked it several times, and it coincides. I think the nicest animals are dogs. I think that they would be really nice, and because they see that if they give a paw, if they do anything a little bit cute, how they're rewarded, yet they also get to be like the kings and queens of their homes. And I say that because they look at their cousins, who I believe would be the meanest or rudest, and that is wolves. Because wolves have to survive, they have to be leaders, and they look at their cousins, the dog, and they're like, you're weak, and so they have to be mean. So I'm saying dog's nicest, wolves meanest.
Wow, that was an answer. Yeah. We've gotten everything so far, probably not that one. But yeah, for everybody else out there, the next question is, if animals could talk, who would be the rudest?
Do mosquitoes count?
Oh my god. You know what? They should. They definitely should.
Absolutely. Well, not only do they just suck, but they're like responsible for the most deaths in the world, which, oh my gosh, mosquitoes, get out of here. But also, whenever I get like bitten by one, I get a bruise there and I just get out of here. Mosquitoes.
Yep, you know what? I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. And last question, who is your hero?
So my hero is a movement, and it's a movement that is continuing, unfortunately, to this day. But my movement is for people who stand up against inequalities and injustices and speak out. And so people who are involved in movements like the Women's Suffragette or the right for all people to vote are my heroes.
Oh gosh, I should have gone first.
That's your personal thing.
That's wonderful. That's so inspiring. My hero is my dog. I know that sounds a little ridiculous, but we adopted Hazel last May. So we've had her just over a year, which is wild. So now she's 15, which is crazy. But we adopted her actually just right before the wildfires hit. So she probably didn't know exactly where she was living for the first bit because we had to be evacuated and then we were all over the place. But that was kind of just the start of a difficult year for me and for my family. So I feel like she just helped us get out of bed every single day. We always say that the cats keep us in bed, but Hazel gets us out of bed and gets us out in the sunshine and going for walks and remembering that life is good. So Hazel the dog.
I mean, Hazel is everybody's hero. So if you follow us on social media, you have seen pictures of Hazel and you would agree with that. Well, that ends our Game of Fetch segment. Usually I was cooking the bowl, but let's just be honest, that was a very loud one. We're not going to do that. To use twice. Not that mean. Rude? Spicy nice? Maybe spicy nice? We'll go with spicy nice on that one. Well, now that we know a little about you, let's talk a little bit about this podcast.
Mm.
Okay.
Sure.
I started to give a little bit of background knowledge here. I started last year in July. And I think it was about the middle of October when Sarah just brought up, oh, a podcast. And I remember I was there. She can't be serious. This is a joke. There's no way. And to this day, I don't know the exact date. It was either end of October, beginning of November, somewhere around that time. Sarah walks into the office, passes by my desk, stops, and then hands me a little yellow sticky note that says, this is the name of our podcast. And I still have that sticky note. And it was the moment when my brain went, oh no, we're doing this.
Where do I work? What department do I work in? Who is she?
We are doing this. And then you literally just handed me the sticky note and you walked away. And then you turn around and you said, we need a logo in like 2 weeks. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. Wait a second. Sarah?
Yeah?
What? I mean, what was in your mind when you brought up this idea? And I want to know, like, do you remember, like, when this idea came to mind? Why a podcast? And why was this the right time? Why not 2025? Why 2024?
First of all, I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to defend myself. So the first time you heard about it was October. I think the first time Taylor heard about it was probably a week into my first month here. I think a podcast, it's like long-form journalism for written word. It allows us to have this connection with people in the sector and tell stories in a different way. So that's why I wanted to do it. What, and I'm not going to look at Taylor when I talk about this, but one of the, in some cases, strengths and in other cases, weaknesses that I have is shiny and new, Taylor will say, right? Like, I see the shiny and new and I'm like, let's do that. And so it was a shiny and new. And to Taylor's credit, after, you know, Taylor's been here 7 years, I've been here 7 days, Taylor said, not right now. And she did hold me off for a year and a half, basically.
I tried, Paula.
But, I mean, and sensibly did hold me off. But then you came on board, and so we grew the team. And I think the time is just right now for people who want to learn more, who only get a minuscule amount during a social media post, who might read some articles, but not all the articles. This is just a way to connect more with our listeners and donors and adopters and people who genuinely care. And I think it's fun. I enjoy recording them. I enjoy talking to people. So that's why I wanted a podcast. And did I really give Paula a yellow sticky note? Yes, she's kept the receipt there. And that is what I do. And I can do that because I have such a great team. You know, and I wouldn't say that I do it a lot, but yes, do I do it sometimes? Yes, because I have a great team.
Well, Taylor, what you just have to tell us, right? You've heard it before me, and I know my reaction. So between Sarah's for 7 days in the office. And about a year later? A year and a half later when this became a thing. We're like, maybe, maybe never. What was your reaction? Like, what did you think? And especially when we're like, okay, we're recording it on trailer. We're doing this. We're buying the equipment. Like, we started doing it. We started buying microphones and we're like learning, like buying software and all that. What went to your mind?
I think with the podcast, I fully understood like the why behind it. Like, I was like, yes, this makes sense. We can reach more people. We can tell more stories. That's what we're passionate about. But I was like, the how for me was like, but how? How are we going to find the time to do this? Like, we're already, we have so many other things on our plate. But that's the thing about Sarah is that she has such great ideas, and whenever she has an idea, we're going to make it happen. So I am very, very happy now to see it all come to life. It's wonderful. It's so nice to hear that people are really enjoying the podcast. But yeah, I think it was like, I got the why, but I was like, But how?
And to be fair, I mean, Taylor had been kind of an island on her own for close to 7 years, right? And yes. Then this position was basically created and I came in. And I think part of it is that Taylor and I had worked together in a volunteer capacity before, so we knew each other. I very much respected Taylor's work. I was told time and time again, I was never to poach her from my other job. And so, you know, when I came in, Taylor had done such an amazing job to grow the department, like she'd already talked about. She'd just been recognized as the top 30 under 30 for Atlantic Business Magazine. Yay. And I was intimidated a little bit, right? And so I wanted to come in strong and not strong like as in like leaving people in my wake, but strong as in like, I need Taylor to trust that I can do this job and that the legacy she has created is only going to get bigger.
Just have to a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to. Well, that was purely for pod. We are, yes. As I've said, this is episode 9 and it feels... Maybe it feels longer than that, but we've been doing it, which is just fantastic of our parts, because for some people, this is their livelihood. This is what they do for a living, and this is what we do on top of our whole other projects, but we're doing it. We're here. We're here almost, what is it, every 2 weeks? I feel like I should know that.
Yeah, the goal
I feel like I should know this by now.
The goal was that we all agreed to in the strategy session that we had last December, because I got receipts too.
Yeah.
The goal was 24 podcasts in 2024, right? So two podcasts a month. We missed the first month. So we're going to be at 22 unless we need to add in two more. But that was the goal. And I think that we have done well. I think that you definitely can tell between a podcast that people do for a living versus ours. We're trying. It is the corner of our desk. And, you know, we're always looking for guests. So if people want to submit to us people that they'd love to hear from, we would love to do that. There are times that we maybe line somebody up and then something happens and there's an emergency or something. And we have to think on the tip of our toes. But I think we're getting better with planning. And the more feedback people can give us, the better we will improve.
Definitely. It's been a learning curve with the podcast. We're all learning from buying new equipment to learning software to promoting this. But it has been a fun project, even with its, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? Oh, who are we interviewing this week? What is going on? I don't have the time to do this, but we're getting there. Now, like I said, you two have been hosting a few episodes now, like each one. You two have very different styles of doing this, which is fantastic because it gives our listeners a little bit of who's our host this week.
I hope so.
Who's doing this, keeping them on their toes. But I find myself now that whenever like I promote it or anything that I do, it's a little bit with the fundraising cap on, but also a little bit like maybe a podcaster cap on. It's just a, I don't know, it makes me feel fancy now that I say it. But Tell me a little bit about your process of getting ready for an episode. Like, do you think the way I do? Do you think like a fundraiser you had on, or are you adding a bit of a podcaster and just feeling a little, you know,
we can do this full time. Yeah. I am a type of person that I love to prepare so much in advance and have like example questions, backup things, just in case like maybe the answers are a little bit shorter. So I find like if I prepare a ton before something, then it'll be a little bit more like free flowing whenever I'm actually in it. So I feel like I've been trying to kind of have the podcaster hat on, but always trying to make sure that we're bringing it back to why we're here, right? Like what our mission is. And what ultimately what we're trying to make sure that we're getting out to our supporters, different ways that maybe they weren't aware of that they can help us out, or they can get involved, and making sure that we're getting that out there.
What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, no, I think we are definitely different.
In a good way. In a good way. Yes. Let's put it on there in a good way.
I love to talk to people and hear from people when they're passionate about what they're doing, no matter what it is. You know, so I think the first two podcasts I did, Dr. West talking about dental, Dr. West loves veterinary dental, and then talking to Linda Felix about Spay Day, and she's the founder of that and has been on that. So I love just to hear people talk about their passions. So I think my style is a little bit different, and my questions usually flow from the conversation. I don't necessarily come with prepared questions. But I think I'm getting better at it because we do have some guests lined up coming up in season two that, you know, you're going to be excited to hear from. And I want to do it justice. Not that I haven't wanted to do justice for everybody else, but it's been a little bit more free flowing because I just want to hear and have conversations. And I think because this isn't something that we do every day, it's trying to find that balance of listening, asking questions, making it conversational. What is that balance? I'm just trying to learn it.
Yeah. I mean, we're all trying to learn it. Everybody starts somewhere, right? And it'll be exciting to do this again in like season four and see what we learned. See where we were from episode 9 to episodes 40 something.
See how we went from like, oh no, Sarah wants us to do a podcast season 4 so quickly.
Well, I mean,
Sarah has
since I started, we're getting excited now that the more we're doing it. I'm also excited about this microphone. I gotta lie.
Yeah, the new equipment is nice.
It really makes you. I was just telling Sarah before we started this, we might just end up opening up a recording studio because why not? You're right. We're talking about like. I'm joking season 4, but you can get there, right? Like we have guests in mind, and we have a schedule in mind, and we're excited, but there's always something new to talk about, and as we learn and as people tell us what they want to hear, we grow, and we can get there for sure. Is there something, I mean, I'm looking forward for the future of this podcast to get there, no matter who's doing it, for this to become, you know, start something, it's your baby. What are you looking forward to, like the future of this podcast? Let's say season 10, you're not here anymore. Still hoping that it is here.
So in season 10, I've won the lottery. And I'm just funding nice the podcast. What would I like to see by season 10? I would like us to have a bigger reach. There are so many interesting people working in the animal social impact sector. I would like us to have a bigger reach and maybe get some guests that are outside of our organization. I think we've got great stories in our organization, again, being more than shelters, but I think we have a bigger reach.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I feel like I would really love to hear, honestly, from our listeners. Why is it that they love the SPCA so much? I'd love to listen and hear from adopters and donors and see what inspired them to take a furry friend home or to generously give to the SPCA. Those are three things that I would really love to see.
Those are good ones.
Yeah, those are great ones. They have some great, some great answers. This is definitely not an answer I'm going to go off with on the spot for it. My next question is, I don't think, maybe I'm not a podcaster enough to, like, listening to podcasts enough, but I don't think you see a lot of podcasts in the for-profit world. If somebody came to you today and say, I want to start a podcast in my charity organization, what would you tell them? What would you be your advice for them? And I know that we're not very far away and we're, oh my goodness, we know we're like experts in this, but I think the best moments where you can give advice when you're still growing, not when you're necessarily an expert, where you've been through the mistakes. Mm-hmm. So what would you tell them?
That's a good way to put it, Paula.
Don't sometimes. Take Sarah, that's what I would tell them. Don't take her, me neither.
I think, so there definitely is a lot of nonprofit podcasts if you want to talk about how to fundraise. And I think that you don't see a lot of podcasts from organizations because the department that would do that, communications, fundraising, are tapped. And so we see this, Taylor and I have the good fortune of volunteering with Giving Tuesdays, Nova Scotia Gives More. And so we talk to a lot of organizations and sometimes even getting some social media posts up on top of everything else they have to do. So I think that there are resources out there that can help you. I think that you can use the libraries in Nova Scotia to record a podcast. And I think that you can put one day aside and knock out a whole season of these if you plan to. And I think the thing is too, like, you start. So when we first put out that episode, we had no inclination of who's listening, how many people are listening. And we didn't, it's the same with your social media. You have to grow it, right? So we didn't sit there and look at the numbers and go, should we not? Like, we're in episode 9 now, and I think that's, we're reaching the goal, which was 24. So instead of putting a goal on us of, you know, you have this many interactions or what is the return on engagement for the podcast, the goal was internal first to see if we wanted to do it, mm-hmm. if we liked doing it, and if it was successful for us first. And I hope that listeners are listening and getting something out of this and learning more about the animal social impact sector.
No, I think that's wonderfully said. I think the biggest thing, and this impacted me especially, is that change, even if it's going to be positive change, is so uncomfortable and like, a little bit scary, it's new. So exactly what Sarah said, like embracing it like one podcast at a time, not thinking like, oh my gosh, we have to do all of this and this and this, just a little bits at a time. And you can always reach out to us because we would love to chat with you about like the things that we've learned along the way, how we actually got started. A candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. So we are here.
That was so beautiful.
My gosh, oh my God. So good. But you know, when you talk about like how different Taylor and I are, and you see it every single day, I think Taylor just exemplified though why we work so well together, because we believe that. Like, if somebody wanted to start a podcast and they weren't sure and for their organization, Taylor and I would take the time mm-hmm. to talk to them. You know, like, if you touch any part of the animal impact sector, we'll have you on the podcast mm-hmm. so you get a sense of what this is like. But that's totally what we believe. And I loved that candle reference. Good job.
Huh. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I feel like that is a great note to end on this podcast, this amazing podcast. It was great to have you both here on the other side of the microphone. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did as well, you too, and as well as our listeners. But actually, I'm not going to end it on that. Oh, I have one question. Let's see if we get to, do we get to put this dilemma to bed? Cats or dogs?
Oh my gosh.
Easy.
Do you want to get us started here?
Easy. There you go.
I mean, I'm team cats. My first pet was a cat. I feel like it's always your first that steals your heart, right? And I do think that dogs, they have so much unconditional love that they would forgive everything, like us not choosing team dogs, like, but cats, they would hold a grudge. So in order for my life to be saved from my two cats, I'm going to go with team cats.
There is Thank you. There is nothing, I mean, there is other things better than, but the that unconditional love of a dog, it just, it helps on bad days. It helps make good days even better. It helps relieve your stress. Dogs can be working dogs. We've seen working dogs come be adopted. We have Zave out of the SPCA, who's now out there. So I think dogs just are, it's the well-roundedness. I'm okay that the cats don't like me saying dogs. I just like to remind the cats that there's also critters, and we never talk about the critters. It's always cats versus dogs versus like rabbits versus the guinea pigs, or right now lovebirds that we mm-hmm. we have at the SPCA, but it's definitely dogs. This is something that will divide Taylor and I, though, for eternity.
So basically, we're not putting this dilemma to bed anytime soon. We've been trying now for years. It's not happening. But again, thank you both so much for taking the time to be here. Thank you to everybody who's listening to this. Again, if you're new here, we're hoping that you're going to stay. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and also tell us that cats or dogs in the comments on our social media. We love to hear that. Are we going to put this dilemma? Or critters or rabbits, you know? Let's do that. Also, Taylor, you said your hero was Hazy.
I know. That's the thing, is that she would forgive me. She would. But my cats, they wouldn't. They definitely wouldn't.
Well, fair enough.
I can't wait till Hazel's in and I'm going to have a chat with her.
That is true. Well, on that note, whenever you're listening to this, hope you have a fantastic day. And we'll see you in our next episode.